We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh man, this gets me dancing a little bit here in the studio, right? Moving back and forth a little bit, chatting, right?
You look good.
What are they saying, Solana?
El beeper.
Oh, it's the beeper? El beeper?
The beeper?
I guess.
Oh, this song gotta be old as hell.
Watch me move, right here. Look, right here, the 1-2.
So they made a song about the beeper?
Wait till 5 p.m., Greg.
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
You get some horns behind it. You can make a song out of anything, man.
Very true. El beeper. El beeper. Right? Like, that's what they're saying.
BC, y'all. BC, y'all.
Let's try something new.
Whatever it is. Oh, welcome back here. Greg Likens in for Mark Hochman. Channing Crowder here with us. As always, Alex Solana. We have mail going off. We got all sorts of noises and stuff.
Who was it? One of you's running to that wall. I don't know who it was.
That was you. You be recording these songs off your home computer and the songs make it. That was you.
Yeah.
Fine.
Was you.
He was. He's running to the TNT wall. Okay. There you go.
This happens all the time. We had to transition, Greg, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he can't record any new music in the studio. So he does it at home, which we respect the hell out of for him thinking about the show and helping the show at home.
Right, working off hours.
But his phone is connected to his computer. So randomly in every song we have that's new, you hear a deep or a boom or you hear some noise from his phone computer connection, and he acts like nothing's wrong.
Because that was from like the intercom email noise that you just got a new email. That's what that was.
Got to remember to turn these songs down a little quicker.
And we love it. We love that you do. You help the show at home, man. No problem. But maybe disconnect your phone from your computer connection.
I'll see what I can do.
My man.
Well, there you go. By the way, somebody on the text line, 56022, Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, says, El Beeper equals Spanish version of Hotline Bling, LOL.
I don't care where you at. There's no beepers still around the world, right?
I don't know. I would imagine there's certain parts of the world there may still be beepers in use.
No, because if you can get a signal, you get a phone.
I agree with you.
Need a signal?
I would agree with you that you'd rather have a phone, but I would imagine there's still some beepers lying around.
Uruguay, is there beepers in Uruguay?
No.
Come on, man. No. Greg.
Well, maybe I'm wrong.
Beepers?
Well, I know somebody who doesn't use a beeper. That's Cameron Wolf. He's going to join us next segment to talk some Dolphins. But yeah, I'm with you. Don't you think like somebody somewhere in this world still using a beeper?
Drug dealer.
Because
Easy to throw away. It's cheaper than throwaway phones.
You don't need the caller ID kind of thing.
All that stuff. Yeah,
incriminating you.
Call from a payphone. You know how hard it is to find payphones nowadays?
Nearly impossible.
Bro, you got to walk into a gas station and ask the people behind the counter. The cashier, can I borrow the phone inside? There's no payphones anywhere. I love a good payphone.
Have you done that before?
Hundreds of times.
You've asked to use the gas station phone?
I did it earlier this week.
Why?
My phone will die, or it's on the last little bit of a power, and I'm like, if I make this call, it's going to go out, but I have to tell maybe, I got to call my wife or call somebody and tell them what's going on, tell them my ETA, and I'll run to the gas station. Excuse me, ma'am, you got a phone? Yes. Oh, can I use it for a second? Yeah. Link. Beep, 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 boop, boop, beep, beep.
Now, here's the other part. Do you remember phone numbers?
Well, it's always somebody. Like, I got to be honest. I might remember 5 phone numbers.
I was going to say, because how many phone numbers do you know, like, by heart?
My wife, my mom, brother-in-law, my 2 best friends. My sisters. I'll figure my sisters out. Maybe about 7.
Oh, that's impressive. I got to admit, like, that's more than I would anticipate because – for me, just a few. I mean, I think maybe three or four.
Gotta know your fiancés by heart.
I do.
Yeah. Yes. You that's the one call. I tell people that. If my phone dies, I'd be like, bro, the hell with that phone. You can throw it in the water. Let me call my wife real fast and let her know what's going on. She's the only person that can get me in trouble. Only person in the world I'm scared of is my wife. You're laughing now. You're not married yet.
Well,
wait till that marriage goes through.
I'm laughing only because for a couple of reasons. One, you said that with such conviction.
It's true.
I mean, I'm looking you in the eye, and I can tell you literally are. That's the only person you're scared of. Mm-hmm. But I also know your background, and so knowing the fact that you hit people for a living, you know, you put your body on the line for a living for multiple years, and understanding the physical harm that could come your way. When you say it like that, then it must be serious that you actually are most afraid of your wife.
Yeah, man, because she's just, you know, then it's you're always there. Well, all the married guys know what I'm talking about. Greg, I would say, I don't know how y'all's living situation right now, but all you guys know, to be on bad terms with your wife, it ruins your whole life. It ruins your meals. It ruins your showers. It ruins your bathroom breaks. It ruins your interaction with the kid. It affects everything. If you're on good terms with your wife, your life runs smooth. That's why I say I don't argue. I'm never right. My wife just looks at things differently. Please take that. Your wife is never wrong. You're never right. Y'all just look at things differently. Take that from me if you take anything today.
By the way, I will. I'll take that to heart. But we have people telling us via the text line that some doctors still use beepers, that they use beepers in hospitals. We also have people letting us know that police detectives use beepers. Somebody else says, what's up, guys? I actually have a beeper at work. I'm a firefighter, and we carry one on us when we get a call for a living. It goes off. It gives us the address and the nature of the 911 call.
That makes sense. I was going to say, if you're an emergency person that your job is to deal with emergencies,
mm-hmm.
It would be dumb to have you call them back because that's wasting time when you could be saving lives. But if it gives you the fire, four-story building, 1904, 72nd Street, immediately urgent, whatever. I can see that. That makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, so they are still alive and prominently working, apparently, here, even in our backyard. Somebody else says, now, I think they're trying to get under your skin. They say, hey, Chan, don't you have a cell charger in your car?
Yeah. But it doesn't charge automatically. And to be honest, now that he called me out, mine has the little metal pieces of the iPhone charger started to go green. So if it's on the wrong side, I have to lick it to get the conduction, whatever.
That's the worst.
I got to lick it to make sure it goes in. Like, I'm real cheap, bro.
You have to lick the end of the phone charger?
Because it's turned green and I need my saliva makes the connection better. Because if I don't lick it, then it'll say beep, 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 beep.
No,
beep,
it's true.
Beep,
it's true.
Beep, beep,
like
100 times.
Right. It'll like turn on. It'll charge for like 3 seconds, turn back off, turn on, turn back off. And then you think by just like switching the charger around the other way, it'll do it, but it doesn't. Sometimes little tongue action will get it working.
Yeah, a little saliva, man. Mm. You know, electricity is conducted through, you know, water and stuff like that can pull. So that metal and that water, beep, boop, get the little lightning bolt. You got to get that lightning bolt.
Yeah, I got you, Chan.
I like this. I like the sound effects,
calling me
too.
Chan.
Somebody says, this lets you know that Mrs. Crowder is a gangster. I'll co-sign with Crowder.
Bro. That Cuban in her, and then half Cuban, half black from Opa-locka. She takes no trash, man. Calls me out on all my foolishness. I was talking about it earlier. She calls me out on stuff I say on the show.
Somebody else says Channing is the oldest living 35-year-old using a gas station phone.
I've heard that before. I love the old way of life, man, without Facebook and Instagram. And I like, you know what? I actually like eating my meal, not taking pictures with it. Just stuff like that, you know, talking to humans. You want a girlfriend? Go to the damn mall, walk around, see something fine, the wait you, whatever you like, and go say, hey, how you doing? You from around here? Bro, that's worked for years. Hey, how you doing? You from around here?
You call her on her beeper, right?
I would beep her. She bad enough. Hell, I'll buy her a beeper to beep her. But, man, nowadays it's just different. I am. And people call her the old soul. I've heard that my whole life. But, I think like a 50-year-old, not very 35-ish.
I think in many ways it's actually a redeeming quality, right? Because,
appreciate it.
Yes.
Brother.
But I would agree that it is a little strange. Like, you go to a gas station, ask to use their phone. Like, just charge your phone and make the phone call.
Let's say hypothetically, not me.
Because it started with you saying you miss using public pay phones.
Not me. But let's say hypothetically, you might not be doing something that's 100% legal.
Ah, okay.
Why would you use your own cell phone? Who was in the gas station calling? Now you got to get the videos from the gas station. Now you got to get a subpoena to find out if I was in the gas station. Who's going to go through those steps? Just a deeper thinker, man. I'm just a deeper thinker.
Mm. So, hypothetically.
You're not going to ping me. Have you seen CSI when they ping people?
Yeah.
Where were you at 1945? Da, 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 da. I don't know. Ping, ping. Oh, you pinged from this tower at 942. We know the area you in. Cell phone at the gas station is not going to make a ping, Greg. I'm just speaking the truth.
Somebody right also let us know that in Aventura there are 3 payphones.
Where at?
I don't know. We left the Texas back.
I don't do a lot of business in Aventura. So
well, I was
going to
say,
not going to help me.
Maybe on your way home now from our location.
You need some Miami Garden payphones. That's where the business gets done.
Channing, let's take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to class things up. Cameron Wolf will join us. We'll talk some Miami Dolphins football, find out about what to anticipate from tomorrow's scrimmage and everything that's emanated from this week of training camp. Plenty going on with the Dolphins. That's next here on QAM. Welcome back here to 560 WQAM. Greg Likens in for Mark Hochman alongside Channing Crowder as we continue on here. Plenty going on with the Miami Dolphins. A big scrimmage tomorrow. Been plenty of news emanating from the team this week. And for more on that, we go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline where you can shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. That's where we welcome in Cameron Wolf. Does an excellent job covering the Dolphins for ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at Cameron Wolf. Cam may be tired of talking to me because between today, earlier this week, last week, he's been on with me, but always enjoy his insight. Cam, thanks for joining us today. How's everything going on this Friday?
Going great. How are you?
Doing well, Cam. And we got a lot to get into. Certainly, we've got this scrimmage tomorrow. Let's start with that. I know Brian Flores spoke to the media today before a little bit of a walkthrough, but what did he say to expect from his first scrimmage as the Dolphins head coach?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was that he said it should be a game-like atmosphere. You know, you never know with these scrimmages whether they're going to do some sort of a 7-on-7 type drill or if they're going to have really the ones going against the ones. But he said it's going to be full force, as much of a game as you can have in these type of scrimmages. So they'll have situational drills and whatnot. But we can tell that they're going to be hidden. And that's something I definitely want to see. I want to see who's the physical guys, who's the guys who are shying away from contact, and ultimately how the formations and all the different, chess pieces they have fit together on the field.
And Cameron, with being around Flores a little bit, being around him, seeing how he's speaking about the scrimmage, I haven't heard that, game atmosphere stuff with a lot of coaches I played for and after I have retired. But are you starting to see any clarity of what the Patriot way is by being around Brian Flores for these last couple weeks?
Yeah. We've heard it. Almost every single presser has been the cliche that you almost roll your eyes at. But I can hear Belichick saying them too. The discipline, not beating yourself, focus, mental elements, the small things, all those elements are sort of Patriot traits that I think they're going to make a priority here. I think the biggest thing we always think of in the Patriot system is them maximizing players who aren't necessarily the stars and making them into who they are with the Patriots. So I think that's what Flores is going to have to try to do with this team. It's a lot bigger of assignment with the talent he has on this roster compared to what they have on the Patriots. But I think that's where you're going to see the most Patriot way of Brian Flores, is that he might make some guys that you might have otherwise said, who? Become players this year. And I think that's, that's his intention.
And is that kind of along that same approach? I've heard, I think Omar Kelly, he tweeted about how they're not putting guys in positions. They're seeing what they do well. You heard Rashad Jones playing a linebacker early in camp. They have McCain at safety. Right. They have Minka at other positions. Is that what you're speaking of, where he's just going to find what these guys' tricks, what these guys' strengths are, and use them?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I was trying to figure out a depth chart to put together for ESPN.com, And it's hard for me to figure out who is what position because, like you said, they fit roles so much that it's hard to pigeonhole them. You know, like Bobby McCain's been playing a lot of free safety, but what does that mean for Minkah Fitzpatrick? Is he a cornerback now? Should he be listed as a cornerback? Or is he still going to play some safety? Like, all of these things are sort of in flux more than they normally would be. Nothing is what it will seem. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. That's what I mean by, you know, I think you're going to have players who, you know, have specific packages. They might have 10 or 15 plays they play, and they only play in certain situations. So rather than a position, they're a package player. So I think that's something that will be unique. Like you mentioned, Rashad and TJ, they're going to play a lot more linebacker than they played in their careers. And they're saying all the right things about it right now. But, you know, they're still listed as safeties, but I would say that a fair share of their snaps are going to be playing some sort of linebacker and sub packages. So, yeah, a lot of these guys are going to be multi-position players, as they start in this defense.
Cameron Wolf covers the Dolphins for ESPN, joining us here on 560 WQAM. And along those lines, Cameron, are you viewing this as the overall philosophy that we're going to see from this regime in general, or is part of this because they're trying to compensate for their lack of established pass rushers who can get after the quarterback?
Well, I mean, if you look at the Patriots, they've never really been, and I guess this is what we're basing it off of because that's where flow comes from, but they've never really had that elite pass rusher either. I don't think any of the Belichick disciples have really valued elite edge rushers like the rest of the NFL does. So, you know, we'll see if it works for the Dolphins. I'm not optimistic that it's going to help them this year because there's nobody that you could be scared of. But I think the scheme thing is here to stay. I think they'll always have these multi-position guys in specific roles. Like even when we look at the Patriots, like Kyle Van Noy, the linebacker, but you think of him differently than you might think of a traditional linebacker because of the role they ask him to do. I think you're going to have those type players. Like I think Jerome Baker is going to have a specific role than the other linebackers have. So he's going to have, you know, a different assignment, a different package. So I think that's less about talent and more about what they're trying to do. But talent helps that a lot, and that's something that, you know, they're going to have to find that, you know, in the next couple of years because they are missing some this year.
Cameron, I'm going to wait for the quarterback talk till the end because I know you talk about it every damn day of your life. We do too.
Yeah.
But one thing that people don't talk about, man, is the receivers. You've been out there. They've practiced right. A number of times. They got their first scrimmage coming up tomorrow. If you have to say who's the number one receiver on the team, who is in the middle of plays, if they have a third and seven, fourth quarter, third and seven, who are they throwing the ball to?
Kenny Stills. Kenny Stills is their number one receiver. He was sort of de facto number one this year, but I think he's actually set up to have a pretty good year this year. I think, you know, with the quarterback, whether it's Ryan Fitzpatrick or Josh Rosen, I think they're going to go vertical a lot more than they did with Ryan Tannehill. And I think that's going to be set up for him to really succeed, whether on the outside or in the slot. So I think he's your number one receiver, your best chance to, you know, get an 800 or 1,000-yard receiver. Your go-to on third downs will probably be him. Devontae Parker, you're always hoping to get something out of him. But I think if he's your second or third receiver, you're happy with that. The biggest thing for him is just to stay healthy. Albert Wilson for a while looked like he could – really be that number one and with his yak ability. But I think for him this year, he's going to have to get healthy and kind of get back into the player he was last year. You know, the hip injury really took a while for him to come back at. And I don't even know if it's a guarantee that he'll be 100% from week one. So I think Kenny Stills is the guy that, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Josh Rosen are going to be looking at as their go-to receiver.
And you talked about Devontae Parker and staying healthy. That's everybody's criticism of him, just him being a frail right. guy, just getting injury after injury. Have you lost hope in him? Because a lot of the fan base has.
I'll say this. I was shocked that he came back because I thought the Dolphins lost hope in him. But clearly, Chris Greer, you know, he wants to give it one more chance. You can't predict health. So if he's healthy, then, maybe he becomes – you know, a number two, number three receiver. I've lost hope for him being a number one receiver, and I think that's what they drafted him to be. I don't think that he'll ever be that. But I do think that he can still be a guy who can help you. Maybe you'll get one or two of those Houston games that he had last year where you're like, oh, wow, this is where we keep this guy. So I think you just got to lower your expectations. He's no longer a number one, you know, talent receiver. I think he's a number two or number three. And if you stay if he stays healthy, and that's the big if, that's what you hope from him.
Definitely the big if there with Devontae Parker. Cameron Wolf joining us here, covers the Dolphins for ESPN. Cameron, I enjoyed your article about the running back situation, and I think a lot of people have perked up when they hear Kalen Ballage getting first-team reps. With that being said, Kenyon Drake, undeniable talent there. There's a reason he led the team in touchdowns last season, even though he wasn't getting a whole lot of touches. How do you envision this Dolphins coaching staff, you know, maybe if we're hearkening back to the Patriots as well, they used a lot of running backs there. How do you envision them splitting the reps between those two players?
I think it's going to be a headache for fantasy football owners every week. I was talking to Matthew Berry on our team earlier today, and I'm just like, man, fantasy football owners are going to be crazy, because I think on any given week it might be Kalen, it might be Kenyon, it could be Mark Walton if somebody, you know, if something happens in the game plan. So I think that it'll be hot hand. And I talked to Eric Studisville about that this week, and he said, man, I don't really care who the guy is. I don't really care who, you know, is our number one running back. I don't come into a game with a number of carries or a number of touches. I got to get each back. I think he'll look at it as, you know, Kenyon Drake and Kalen Ballage are his 1A, 1B, however you want to put it. And whoever is the guy on that day that's performing well is going to get the most touches. So, you know, Kenyon's the more proven guy. So I expect him to be the leader in touches in the backfield. But I think Kalen has an ability, especially with his size, and if he gets better at breaking tackles, that he can, you know, be a little bit more of that inside carrier than Kenyon has been over his career. So the big thing about Kenyon, and everybody always gets frustrated, like, why can't he be the guy? Why can't this be his breakout year? He hasn't had more than 133 carries since high school. He hasn't proven that he can carry that workload. And I just think that his role is to be, you know, as part of a committee. And that's not necessarily a negative. He can excel in that role, but that might be his role.
Cameron, I'm going to approach this quarterback thing differently. Hopefully you hadn't been asked this question. What are Josh Rosen's strengths? All we do is hear about his weaknesses, how he's getting outplayed, how he's getting everything by Fitzpatrick. What are Josh Rosen's strengths? What's something you saw him do that you said, damn, that's impressive?
He has the best arm of all the quarterbacks there. I think I've seen some passes that he's thrown, and you could, like, hear the wind blowing if you're close enough, because of how much velocity he puts on him, how much mustard, how quickly he gets it out. And I think when he's on, and this is really when he's on, he is the best pure passer by far on this roster. And I think that's what sets him apart. That's what makes him tantalizing, is because when you see those doses, you're like, oh, man, this guy could be, you know, why the Cardinals picked him 10th overall. The issue, obviously, has been the consistency, but I think the potential, we've seen it in the arm. And I think that his, you know, the mental element of him thinking in the game, when he runs the two-man offense, the no-huddle offense, is where I've really seen him shine. When he doesn't have to think as much, when he's just flowing, I see him going to his reads quickly. I see him hitting his receivers in stride. I saw him place balls exactly where the receiver needs to get it. Those are elements that come in specific situations. So I'd say that arm talent and then how he works in those two-minute no-huddle situations are probably the biggest positives I see out of Josh Rosen.
Well, as a follow-up to that, how much ground do you think Rosen can possibly make up, say, in the scrimmage tomorrow? Is the scrimmage going to be significant for him, or are you waiting to see him in a preseason game to see if he can actually be in the mix here without Ryan Fitzpatrick being said publicly by Brian Flores that he's the guy right now?
No, I think this has actually been a really solid week for Josh Rosen on the practice field. Really after Brian Flores said that Fitz is, you know, the early leader. So I'd love to see him come out and put an exclamation point on his week with a really good scrimmage. It doesn't mean that you say, okay, maybe we reevaluate. I think Fitz will still be the leader, but I think he can close that gap. You know, I look at it as like a boxing match. You know, Fitz came out and won the first four or five rounds. If Rosen can come out and, you know, he's won a round or two over the last week, if he can win the scrimmage, it's another round on the belt. And now, you know, you're getting closer to making it a decision. And that's what you want. You don't want to get knocked out in the early round. So, you know, Rosen, I think he needs a real nice a real nice scrimmage, you know, a nice preseason game or two, and you want to make it close at the end to get it to the judge's scorecard. So, and the judge, obviously, is Brian Flores. So I think that he can close the gap a little bit more. I think that, you know, if it's close, in my opinion, you go with Josh Rosen. So I think that should be his goal, to continue to make the coaching staff think that, hey, I'm improving, I'm continuing to grow, and I'm giving you reason to believe that you can give me the job week one.
And last big story from this week was the move at offensive line coach, fired Coach Flaherty. That was here about 5 months, I think it was 4 days into camp, and then brought in who I was actually with the Dolphins with, Cameron, DeGuglielmo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we call him Googe. Yeah. So Googe is back there. You see any problem, any issue with the decision, bringing in Googe early and moving offensive line coaches this early in the camp?
I think it's twofold. One, I think it's a mistake. It's admitting a mistake, essentially. I think there's no way around it. I think, regardless of the timetable, regardless of if Pat Flaherty was Brian Flores' second or third or fourth choice because of the Super Bowl, ultimately, if you fire a coach 6 months after you hire him, you made a mistake. But on the other token, a lot of people wait too long to correct their mistakes. They say, I'm going to live this through for 2 or 3 years and see how it works. You know, he went and admitted it from the jump. So I think you got to look at it, those twofold things first. But second, I mean, the biggest thing for me, I think, is Michael Dieter and his development. I think he's probably the most important player on your offensive line this year. You know what Laramie Tunsil is. You have a couple veterans on that bunch who, may not be part of your long-term solution. But Michael Dieter is a guy who you want to be a multi-year starter for you starting this year. So is he going to be developing better under Googe than he was under Pat Flaherty? And if he does, then I think it sort of salvages this move and turns it into a different direction. So we've seen Michael Dieter run a lot with the first team this week. You've seen him kind of show his potential. And when we see him in the preseason games, he looks like he's ready for the big time, and Googe can get more out of him. Then I think we look at this move at the end of the year and say, hey, that had a big reason why.
Cameron, to conclude things here, we appreciate your time. I want to bring you into one of the conversations we were having here on the show. When was the last time? Do you remember the last time you used a public payphone?
Ooh, a public payphone. Good Jesus. I don't know if I've ever used a public payphone.
Okay, because Channing was saying that he misses using the public payphones because he can't find them anymore.
What about going into a gas station, Cameron, and asking the lady behind the desk, can you use their phone to make a phone call?
I might be telling my age here, but I don't think I've used the public payphone before. Any of those circumstances. I've seen them, obviously. And I've been around people who use, but I don't think I've ever used one.
There we go. I see. I'm
sheltered life,
but I'm more with Cameron. Like I've never even considered, unless it's some sort of crazy emergency, I've never considered going to a gas station asking to use their phone. Like that you just
right.
brought up something.
Usually, you find somebody with a cell phone, right?
Yes.
Like I guess in this day and age, you say, "Hey, can I use your cell phone?" I don't think I've ever used, like, I've used other people's, like, house landline, but not like a payphone.
See, I was hot when they took it from 25 to 35 cent a couple years back. That was the audacity of them.
Yeah, they got to rack their money up somehow, huh?
Goodness, I'm the only one putting money in there. That's why. They ain't made a dime in years.
Hey, Cameron, we appreciate your time as always. Great work covering the Dolphins for ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at Cameron Wolf, and look forward to seeing your thoughts based on tomorrow's scrimmage. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks, Gus.
All right, there he is. Cameron Wolf does a terrific job covering the team for ESPN. And, so he says that he's never used a payphone. He can't remember it. Now, like, I'll have to say that, like, I've used the public payphone before, but it's been a really, really long time. And I do not miss the payphone like you do. And yeah. I can go on record saying I've never gone into a gas station and said, can I use your phone, like behind the counter there?
Like, excuse me, ma'am, you got a phone? Yes, sir. Can I use it real quick? Yes, sir. And they give it right to you. It's usually a portable phone, too. They hand it to you, walk around the gate.
There's no wire attached to it?
No, bro, you can shop and talk on their phone as you shop.
Speaking of audacity, who does that?
Give them the phone back when you pay. Bro, it's a cheat code right now. I'm giving y'all cheat code.
Talk about squirreling.
You squirreling today. You running that fence.
Oh, that was great stuff there from Cameron Wolf. Channing, Solana brought this to my attention. And when we come back, I want to run some of these things by you. So Solana gave me this list. There are a bunch of moments in pop culture from 10 years ago in this month. So if we go back to August of 2009, some of the major things going on. I want to see how you react to some of these, some of our memories that come back from a decade ago. We'll have that next year on QAM. Radio.com. Without fail, I hear this song every time we play music at these Colombian gatherings that I go to.
That's a popular one.
Right, this one. I mean, everybody knows this one. Right?
I say, dun, 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 dun.
You know what's funny is I remember...
Ain't no more time, no more time.
Yeah. Dun, 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 right? Hey, so this song played one time, and I said, that sounds like Celia Cruz. And then I was like, no, that's a... They told me, like, that's a dude. That's a guy. I was like, I thought it sounded like a little like a woman.
It's Joe Arroyo.
Yeah.
That's Joe Arroyo.
It sounds a little bit like Celia Cruz, or am I crazy?
A little.
A little, okay. Solana's being nice, but like...
I was going to say, Greg, my humble opinion is just leave the Hispanic conversation to the Hispanics.
Okay.
I've learned that dealing with my wife, and, you know, she's Cuban, as I talk about all the time. But, yeah, when I get involved, they just look at me funny.
They're like, what are you doing? Yeah. So are you saying that I should do that, and maybe so should LeBron with the Taco Tuesday?
LeBron needs to leave the Taco Tuesday alone as well. stay in your lane more. That's what I like.
Man. Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. Yeah. All right, Greg Likens here in for Hawk, Channing Crowder, Alex Solana. We're trying to solve some of the world's biggest, most important issues here. Who sounds like Celia Cruz and anything else like that. I was also told that I don't say her name exactly right, but, you know, whatever.
Celia.
You know, like it's like Solana when he's telling us the Domino Park. It's not Domino Park. It's Domino Park.
Domino Park.
Yeah, you know.
Oh, they're going to laugh at you at the family function.
Well,
you've probably been laughed at already, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they say all sorts of stuff about me that I don't even know is being said. I sit there like a dumb idiot. You know, I'm just sitting there like I got a grin on my face. I don't know. And meanwhile, they're just talking about me and right behind my back or in front of my face, but they're saying it so quickly in Spanish, I have no idea.
You do play that role pretty well, though, I must say.
Yes, I do. Doesn't matter what circumstance I'm in. Yes, I can do that very well. All right, Chan, you want to hear some of these moments in pop culture that were happening 10 years ago this month, August of 2009?
So through the last 10 Augustes or just 2009 August?
No, this was just in 2009, so 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
This month.
There's a lot of stuff.
We got a list of, I don't know if we're going to read all of them. We got a list of 15 on here.
Damn.
So let's start with the first on the list. This is courtesy of Alex Solana. We'll give him credit. Or Alejandro Solana, if we say that properly.
Alejandro. Is that right?
I think I was closer on that one.
Go to hell.
The Black Eyed Peas song, I Got a Feeling, topped the charts for the entire month of August, and it spent 26 weeks at number one in the year 2009.
And Black Eyed Peas were huge back then.
Seriously.
That was on everything.
And that song was enormous.
Was that Will I Am and then
Fergie?
Fergie.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people went off and but that yeah. I can see that.
I Got a Feeling. Like that was a party staple. It still is, right? You go to like a party or a gathering, the DJ will play that, like a wedding or
maybe like LeBron James's party, yeah.
Mm.
I don't want to go to that.
No, but at LeBron's party, he plays like all the music of like his friends, I would imagine, right? All the guys that he calls his friends that show up on the shop with him and all that stuff, right? Like Drake and who else? What other musical artists have been on that show?
Pharrell, I saw.
Pharrell was on
Pharrell
there.
Was on there.
Was Travis Scott on there?
Travis Scott, 2 Chainz.
Right, 2 Chainz. I saw him on there.
I watch it. I watch the shop now.
Yeah.
I watch it. I get mad when LeBron talks, but I want to hear the other people say something. So I want to hear their opinions, and LeBron gets in my way of hearing what I want to. Seriously, man. That's why I watch.
They had that like sort of an exclusive with Drake, right? When he was talking about his kid and his baby's mama and that whole dynamic. Right.
So baby's mama.
Well, I don't know. Well, what else are we going to call her?
Right. No, just hear you say it, and it's so proper.
It's a little
baby's mama.
Yeah, that is. I can.
The babies, the possessive, and everything. Most people say baby mama, but you say the baby's mama. Then it seems like you say baby's mother if you put the possessive on it. Just a little criticism.
You know, I think that's why, you know, the times that I'm on with you, Channing, it's a nice little balance because, you know, certainly you say it the way that everybody else says it. I say it the grammatically correct way. And so then between the two of us, we kind of create a good happy medium. So.
We can figure it out.
So that's kind of how that goes.
See, we squirreling, Solana. We squirreling on the word baby mama.
Be on that fence.
Baby's mama.
Drake's baby's mama.
It was a perfect sentence. I'm sorry. Yeah, Drake did have a special. Mm. It was like the first 20 minutes was other people, then he came in.
Then they had everybody, and then all of a sudden it was just Drake and LeBron, and is Maverick Carter's with him on that one? Or is it?
Yes. No, that's Maverick Carter. Rich Paul's the little one. Maverick Carter's the wide face boy. Yeah.
Number two, the best-selling albums in the month of August 2009 were Leave This Town by Daughtry and Here We Go Again by Demi Lovato. And as it points out here, we still bought albums back there, back then.
You said Here We Go Again. I thought you were going to say DMX.
No.
Here We Go Again.
Demi Lovato. That was, I don't know, I don't want to make any bad jokes, but was she clean then, do you think?
Probably not.
Oh.
No, she washed that night. She was clean, but not the way you're speaking.
Party in the USA by Miley Cyrus was just hitting the airwaves for the first time.
That's not a banger. Miley Cyrus.
You don't like that song?
It's not in my genre.
It's a catchy song. Though,
yeah,
right?
It is catchy.
Yeah, I mean.
Because even the Black Eyed Peas song you said was on the top for 26 weeks or whatever.
Right, I got a feeling.
It makes no rotation at my house, but I know it was a popular song.
What do you mean you knew it was a popular song? Like you've listened to the song before. Don't act like you haven't.
Well, actually, I listened to it more when Lil Wayne remixed it and rapped over it. And that's when I hear a lot of those biddity bops. I don't listen to, we don't talk about this. I don't listen to a lot of music. I'm not a big music fan. I think music takes your mind off of stuff. I like to keep my mind right where it is. I like to keep it on driving, on raising kids, on talking to my wife. Like, I don't want to release from everything. I do that. I fish to do that. I don't need music to do that.
So when you're in your car, you're listening to?
Podcast 560. Or backwards, 560 than podcast. I listen to talk radio all the time.
This dude loves sports radio, man.
I do. Because I never listened to it before I got into it, so I feel like I'm behind.
You're catching up.
So I got to catch up on as much as I can.
Well, I know you listen to sports talk radio, but I'm just thinking that there aren't times that you just feel like you want to break and you listen to some music?
No, not really. When new songs come out, my wife loves music. My parents love music. My sisters love music. I don't know why. I'm the only one. I don't know if when I played, I used it to get ready for a game and that's it. Like I would listen to hardcore Atlanta, Little John, Pastor Troy, T.I., Jeezy, all the hardcore rap to get ready to go out there and try to knock somebody's face mask off. But it was the only time. So kind of when I retired, I was like, I don't need to zone out anymore. And music to me, really, it feels like you lose yourself in the music, and I don't need that. I don't want to lose myself. Mm. It sounds funny. When I explain it to people, they're like, that sounds dumb. I'm like, you call it what you want to, but I just kind of want to stay where I am mentally, be right here.
Okay. Wow. So music really has a powerful hold over you, apparently. You can't drive and listen to it.
I can. I don't enjoy it. I don't like listening to music driving. I'd rather hear people talk.
I would say that as we're looking at this list, the Black Eyed Peas song, I Got a Feeling, was 2009's version of Old Town Road.
Yes.
Right? Because Old Town Road is setting records for as far as how long it's been on the charts
and
everything.
Are they good songs?
Well, they're just popular songs that have captured the imagination of our country, I guess.
But are they closer to, what's that, Phil Collins? Doom, 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 doom. Air of the Night?
In the Air of the Night.
In the Air of the Night or Baby Shark? What are they closer to, In the Air of the Night or Baby Shark?
No, it's In the Air Tonight for sure. Baby Shark is more of just a fad, kids like it. But these are songs that will be remembered for decades.
No, that's what I'm saying. But to be
you're
honest.
From a quality standpoint?
Are they good songs?
Because Baby Shark's kind of gimmicky. Old Town Road's a little gimmicky. I got a feeling I think it's a legit hit. That song still has staying power.
Like, you're going to listen to it. Because I don't know if I got a feeling.
Like, tonight's going to be a good night. Are you kidding me? Yeah, this was like a party anthem, right? You go out, like, at the time. But
when, I don't know when In the Air of the Night was out, but I listened to that song before football games in, like, as a young guy in Atlanta. Like, everybody listened to that song. I don't know if Old Town Road is going to be listened to when my kid is 10, 15, 20 years old.
In the Air Tonight has a special vibe about it that it does get you fired up. It builds up and everything. Like, Old Town Road is just, it's like a pop song. You know, it's not meant, I don't think, to be locker room music where you're getting ready. How about it? Let's put a pause on that. We'll come back. We'll kick off the 5 o'clock hour. I want to, since you seem to be very, very opinionated about this, we're going to look back at some other big pop culture moments from 10 years ago in August. Stay tuned here on QAM.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.